Well, hi again, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Schwartz on Sports here at New York Sports Day. I'm Peter Schwartz. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. It has been a busy soccer scene in the New York, New Jersey area, especially since play resumed as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The MLS returned to play over the summer down in Orlando, and now the teams are playing in their home stadiums, and a lot of stuff going on locally in soccer. And anytime I want to talk about the beautiful game, I bring in a guy who I used to pay to watch play many years ago at the Coliseum, Nassau Coliseum for the Arrows, and also a Giant Stadium for the Cosmos. And now all these years later, I get to call him a friend. I want to welcome in former Cosmos and Arrows goalie and the current TV analyst for the Red Bulls on MSG, Shep Messing. Shep, it's Peter. How are you?
Hey, Peter. You're the best. You are a friend. I know when you were watching me play at the Nassau Coliseum, you were rooting for me, not against me. So
right.
anytime you call me to jump on your podcast, I'm there.
Well, those were good times with the Arrows, and we talk about it a lot when you're on the podcast. And I'll bring it up again later. But tremendous times. I can't talk enough about the Arrows time at the Coliseum. I'll bring it up a little bit later, but there's so many things going on now, soccer, local wise, and I want to start with the Red Bulls and really one of the great stories. And listen, it's been a difficult road for everybody through this COVID-19 pandemic, and the Red Bulls have certainly had their struggles, as you've seen, calling the games on MSG. But this past weekend, just a great moment for this franchise that is still, trying to find its way and try and find that first MLS Cup championship. They signed 17-year-old Caden Clark on Saturday morning. He's active for the game in Atlanta, and he scores a goal right away in his first game, and the Red Bulls win 1-0. In all your years of doing the Red Bulls games on television, where does a moment like that rank? Because that was just an incredible moment and day for the franchise.
Peter, my broadcast partner, Steve Cangelosi, he said it best. He said, look, broadcasters dream of a moment like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it's a storybook, Hollywood fairy tale. The 17-year-old kid, as you just mentioned, he gets signed his first pro contract in the morning. And then that night in Atlanta, against Atlanta United, he starts. He's in the starting 11,
mm-hmm.
and then he scores the game-winning goal. It was brilliant. And look, kudos to Red Bulls, Peter, because you know the scene here.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I would say Red Bulls were top of the heap when it came to Red Bull 2, the academy, developing players like Tyler Adams and Aaron Long, who, in the academy, played for Red Bull 2. Went to the first team, and look where Tyler Adams is now, and
right.
look how Aaron Long is doing. There's been a little bit of a void. They've gone downhill in developing players, Red Bull, and this is a real sign that they're back. We couldn't be happier for the kid. And let me just say, beyond that, even if he doesn't score the goal, he really impressed us.
Mm-hmm.
He really looked like that, a savvy, much more mature player. It belied his age. This kid has a great future.
No question about it. And it's a moment in a season that has been, turbulent for the franchise, to say the least. Obviously, listen, it's a crazy year with COVID-19 and everything like that. But obviously, there was a coaching change. Chris Armas was let go, and Gerhard Struber is going to come in as the new head coach at some point. But through all of the issues that the Red Bulls have had, they're sitting there with 23 points, and they're just 2 points back of New England for the sixth and final Eastern Conference playoff spot. So given all the issues the Red Bulls have had during the course of the season, would you say they're in pretty decent shape here as they try to build some momentum?
Yeah, Peter, I think you're absolutely right. And they are, and I'll tell you why, and you would understand it. Look, it's a philosophy of play that in the current climate all around the world, that high-pressure, pressing style, they use it at Leipzig, they use it at Red Bulls Salzburg, it's working. I mean, it's a style of play that works. And so really, you can interchange players, you can lose star players. As long as you stick to that system, they're going to get results. And look, are they a great team? No, they're not a great team right now. But they're a tough team to play against, so I think they have a tough schedule coming up, but I think they'll be in the playoffs. And look, this year in these playoffs, as you alluded to, anything can happen. You just have to get in. I think if you get in, you could win it.
It's been a little, weird, in all of the sports, watching the games come back and having nobody in the stands. And listen, you're someone, and we're talking to Shep Messing, the former Arrows and Cosmos goalkeeper, now MSG TV voice for the Red Bulls. But Shep, you played for the Cosmos at a time where they were drawing 70,000 people to Giant Stadium. You played indoor soccer for a long time in front of full houses and big crowds. How weird has it been to see, not just soccer, but you're a big sports fan, so you've seen the other sports come back too, and not a lot of states are allowing fans to come into games. What has it been like for you broadcasting games with nobody in the stadium?
Yeah, it's definitely, Peter, it's weird. You know that. Mm-hmm. You're a savvy pro. It's weird for the players. I talk to the players often, and it's hard for them. We're so used as players to having 10, 20, 30, 60,000 people in the stands, it gives you energy. So really the players have told me they have to make a real effort to motivate themselves. It sounds silly because they're pros, they're getting paid, they're playing the game, but they're used to feeding off that energy. And look, as we look around Major League Soccer, there's no more home field advantage. Mm-hmm. If you look at the records of the teams in the league across the board, there's no home field advantage, and that's because the fans are not there.
I got to hope at some point, and I know that, Governor Murphy in New Jersey at the beginning of the season, wouldn't allow Jet and Giants fans to come to games, and that applies for the Red Bulls too, but given the state that we're in right now in our area with, some of the lowest rates both in New York and New Jersey, I honestly hope at some point that maybe they open up the gates a little bit. You're seeing in some of the NFL stadiums and even in the baseball playoffs, they're sprinkling some fans around the stands. And I'm just wondering from a Red Bulls perspective, Red Bull Arena is probably arguably the best soccer stadium in North America right now. I got to think they could probably figure out a way to put a few thousand people safely in Red Bull Arena and bring some of the fans into the stadium.
Well, look, Peter, you hit it on the head. I mean, everybody is navigating, regulations, mm-hmm. the CDC, the governor's decisions, and that's part of the challenge in this great country, right?
Right.
There's no uniform code, and so everybody's trying to do the best they do. Everybody wants to open up. Everybody wants fans in the stadium. They want people in restaurants, but it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And, everybody's rooting for it. Whether it will happen, who knows?
Yeah. Let me touch on some of the other clubs in town, and we'll stay in Major League Soccer and go across town to NYCFC. I guess the best news for them recently is they get their home stadium back. I mean, they were kind of like nomads, first obviously starting at the MLS's back tournament in Orlando, and then they come home, and because of COVID, they couldn't play home games at Yankee Stadium, and now that the Yankees went to the playoffs, but they were at neutral sites, they were able to come back and play in their own stadium, and they sit in a playoff spot right now, and I guess coming home for them and having their home ballpark, so to speak, back, I guess that kind of settles things down for them.
Yeah, they're a good team, Peter. I mean, we really were disappointed in how they started the season, because you look at their roster and you say, absolutely a playoff team and maybe, MLS Cup. They haven't done as well as everybody thought, and now they have some issues. Player Batrita leaves the team, but they're a quality team. They, mm-hmm. they really have depth. They're good on both sides of the ball. They had difficulty scoring goals early in the season, but you're right. It's good for them to be at Yankee Stadium home. Again, everybody's navigating it. Red Bulls plays a midweek game Wednesday night against Toronto FC, and where are they playing? They're playing in Hartford.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, look, it's different for everybody. When the whistle blows, these guys still go out and compete. But I think both Red Bulls and NYCFC, I think they'll be in the playoffs. And then, let's see if they can do any damage.
You know, it's always good to see more soccer in the area, and that's going to happen in 2022 at the highest level of the United Soccer League when Queensborough FC debuts. They were supposed to debut in 2021, but obviously the pandemic has pushed that off a year. David Villa is going to be one of the owners of that team. And I guess anytime there's a new franchise in town, there's a bit of excitement. They just showed off their logo and their badge and, you know, what things are going to look like. It's a pretty cool looking logo that they came up with. What are your thoughts on Queens getting a soccer club in a couple of years?
I love it, Peter. I'm glad you brought it up. I love it. First of all, I got to know David Villa when he was here playing. Had some meetings, got to know him. Outstanding player, obviously, and a big thinker. So this was always in his mind from the day he set foot in New York. So to your point about the logo, the crest, I loved it. I loved the colors, everything about it. And you and I know in this market, could there be a better place in the country for pro soccer than Queens, New York? It's the best. The best. That's why for many years, many teams have been trying to build the stadium there.
Right.
But I think for Queensborough FC, the color, the crest, David Villa's involvement, youth development, an academy, I think it's a home run. I'm rooting for him.
I think, from what I understand, they're going to play in like a makeshift stadium, at least to start, in somewhere in Queens. But as you alluded to, you know, Queens is such a melting pot and such a big soccer area. I mean, if you drive on the Grand Central Parkway or on the Van Wyck and you can kind of like peek over into Flushing Meadow Park, especially on a weekend, you see all those people playing soccer. It's very much like, you know, out here on Long Island, too. You see the kids playing soccer all over the place, but Queens in particular. And listen, you mentioned before, you know, the other teams in town have all tried to, you know, get stadiums built there. I got to think that they're going to be able to do a lot of work in the community. And if they could figure out a way to build a small stadium somewhere in that Flushing Meadow Park area next to City Field, I think that would be great.
Yeah, look, you know the area. The ethnic diversity of that area is fantastic. And look, I saw on Twitter the Mets were congratulating
them. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's great. I mean, a great move by David Villa, great by the club, and I think they're gonna do dynamite.
A few minutes left with Chet Messing, who does TV analysis for the Red Bulls, former Cosmos and Arrows goalie. And, you know, let's talk about, you know, the Cosmos, because obviously when you talk about soccer in the New York metropolitan area, that, you know, for all of these years, even when they were inactive, I mean, when you think of soccer in the area, you think of the Cosmos, and you were with the franchise in the heyday, and obviously came back and did some broadcasting with them after the reboot in 2013. They just completed their first, although it was abbreviated, they just completed their first season in NYSA. Just your thoughts on where the Cosmos franchise is right now as they continue to try and, you know, waddle through a whole bunch of things.
Well, you know me, Peter, and I always shoot from the hip and shoot straight.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be more disappointed, really. This is a Cosmos team and a logo and a history that, you know, I'm sitting in my office now looking at the pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
And they deserve better than this. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful, although I don't have any idea. I'm hopeful they get resurrected in a better fashion,
mm-hmm,
with more investment behind them. Don't know much about the league, but what I know about the league, I was not impressed by.
Mm-hmm.
So my hope, and every other player that put on the Cosmo jersey, hopes for better. And by the way, I think it'll happen. The Cosmos are never going away. So this is a low point in where they're at since they've been resurrected. But they're never going to go away, and I think somebody's going to grab them and take them to where they should be.
Well, I sure hope so. You know, in preparation for us chatting, I was on the internet, and I was looking for a good picture of you to use on the podcast page on the internet. And there's a great picture of you stepping onto the field at Giant Stadium with Pelé next to you. And I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but it dawned on me when I saw that picture, and I know you know the picture that I'm referring to. But when you think about your career playing, And obviously you've won championships indoors and outdoors. I would have to think, and it hit me, how cool it must be for you to be able to be one of the finite number of soccer players in the history of the sport that can say that you were a teammate of the greatest player that has ever played the sport. I'm just wondering if that's always popped into your head, how fortunate you were to be able to call him a teammate at some point during your career.
Well, Peter, the answer is every day I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. And I never forget the first day I was traded to the team, and we played our first game at Yankee Stadium. We won 2-0. And after the game in the locker room, again, I grew up in the Bronx, a Yankee fan, so this was a dream come true. And after the game, I just had Pelé as my new teammate, my new team. We won the game, and in the locker room, we both had our shirts off. And I asked him if he'd pose for a picture with me because, in sports, who knows? I get cut or traded the next week.
So right.
I have that picture on my wall. I have the picture you just talked about, walking out onto the field next to Pelé in a packed Giant Stadium. And my son said to me, Dad, there's no other player in the world that can say he was a teammate with Eusebio, Franz Beckenbauer, and Pelé.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, for me to be on that team, and the highlight for me was that championship game when we all felt emotional about it because Pelé, really, in his last year as a player, he wanted the championship. And before the game against Seattle in Portland, he said, please, guys, one more game. And so to be that goalkeeper in that game for him, mm-hmm. to help deliver a championship, I'm thankful that I had that moment every day.
And those were great times, obviously. And so were the times you spent with the New York Arrows in the Major Indoor Soccer League, which I alluded to at the beginning. And, listen, for me as a kid growing up, a corner kick or so away from the Nassau Coliseum. Going to those games, there was such an awesome experience with you and Steve Jungle and head coach Don Popovich, and your 4-year dynasty of winning championships overlapped the Islanders' 4-year dynasty of winning the Stanley Cup. You started the year earlier. And those are just great times to be a sports fan out here on Long Island. I know we've talked about it, on and off the air a bunch of times about how it would be great if, indoor soccer came back to Long Island. But just to kind of close out our conversation, can you kind of sum up what that time meant with the Arrows and how great it was to be a part of that team?
Well, as a goalkeeper, Peter, put aside Pelé and the Cosmos and outdoor, I absolutely loved indoor soccer. And those 4 years were magic at the Coliseum. Who gets a chance to play on a team with players like Luis Alberto, Steve Jungle, Bronco Sagoda, Doc Lawson, and win 4 in a row?
Yeah.
You know how hard it is.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Islanders did it at the same time, and we used to work out in the offseason together, so I would train with Billy Smith in the off season, and friends with Trottier and Nystrom and Clark Gillies. So those were magical years for anybody near Long Island. To this day, Peter, I can't understand Prokhorov, who owned the Nets, came to me 3 years ago, and renovating the Nassau Coliseum, asked about putting in indoor soccer. I, for the life of me, can't figure out why, 16 owners can't get together and start a new indoor soccer league. I know there is one around now, MASL, but that's minor league.
Right.
I think you do a big-time indoor soccer league now, given where soccer is in the country and the appetite for television, I think it would be a home run.
I think it would be great, too. And, now the Islanders are going to be leaving after next season to move to Belmont Park, and they're talking about making the Coliseum even smaller than it was after the renovations. And to me, if they were able to turn the Coliseum into like a 7,000 or 8,000 seat arena, bring the Islanders minor league team there, but also have some of the other niche sports, I think indoor soccer would be great. There's so, listen, we've talked about it all the time, how many kids are playing soccer on Long Island, how big the sport is out here. And listen, when you guys were winning championships, I mean, like, not that there were 15, 16,000 people there every night, but I mean, when, you know, the Arrows would, on a bad night, would draw 6,000 or 7,000 people. So I know the sport would make it. You know the sport would make it. I just hope somebody has the vision to be able to bring it back one day.
Well, I'm still working on it, Peter. So before we go, you got me on a podcast. So,
yes.
You know, I'm going to pump up my own.
I was going to close with that. Yes. So everybody is doing podcasts these days, and I'm fortunate to have this, and you've been a frequent guest on it. But you have your own podcast now, too. So why don't you tell everybody about it?
Well, you know, somebody reached out to me, and I kept thinking of that, and I always have a lot to say, and so I launched it a couple of weeks ago. It's called Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Believe in Soccer, the Shep Messing Daily Cast, and I co-host it with my broadcast partner, Steve Cangelosi, and we're having a good time. It is what it says. I believe in soccer. And we hit a number of topics, domestic, international, whatever we fancy, usually 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So give it a listen sometime.
You definitely have to do it. And listen, Kanji is great. I mean, you must have a blast working with him, not just on the podcast, but on the Red Bulls game. He's so great on the Devils games and also on the Red Bulls games. I mean, you must be just thrilled to be able to have a partner like that on the broadcasts.
Look, you got that right. Steve Cangelosi for me. And, you know, look, he's a friend now, a close friend, but objectively for me, he's one of the best voices I've heard in any sport. He's getting recognized late as one of the top play-by-play soccer broadcasters. Did the Olympics. He does some international work and domestic work for ESPN. But his voice and his call, look, if you haven't heard it, listen to the call of the Caden Clark goal we talked about at the beginning. I mean, he's big time for the Devils, big time for Red Bulls, and I'm thrilled to have him.
And I was thrilled to have you on the podcast again to talk soccer. It's like I said at the beginning, you know, I used to pay to watch you play, and now we're friends. So, like, that's pretty awesome all these years later.
Peter, again, you are my man. I love you. And you hit me up anytime, and I'll jump on.
You know, I still have the Rocket Red soccer ball that's signed by a whole bunch of players on the Arrows. And I looked at this is a number of years ago. I looked at it one day, and I'm like, I don't have Shep Messing's autograph on this ball. And you made an appearance at a soccer event on Long Island. And all those years after the Arrows finished playing, I finally got your signature on the ball. And I just saw it the other day, and I chuckled. I still got some of the Missile magazines from going to the Arrows games. And listen, I can't stop talking about how great those times were. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast again, and hope to see you soon when everything calms down.
Me too, Peter. You stay well, and I look forward to seeing you.
Shep Messing, former Cosmos and Arrows goalie, and now the great longtime television analyst for the Red Bulls on MSG. Shep Messing, my guest here on this edition of Schwartz on Sports here at New York Sports Day. I'm Peter Schwartz. Thanks for joining me. We'll catch you again next time, and please stay safe, everyone.